We turn now to our scriptures. And so get your pew Bible or your electronic Bible or something out. There's a pew Bible near you. Maybe you brought your own. And we'll turn to Joshua chapter 24. And to get to Joshua, we're going to go through several books. I'd like to just speed fast review for you what we've done on the wild ride that John talked about. So Joshua is just after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. And those took us through this wild ride from a Garden of Eden in present-day Iran, Iraq, through to a family that was called into a new promised land, what we call Israel today, with that family to Egypt and a very difficult life for 400 years in slavery under Pharaohs. And then out with Moses into a wilderness to sort of train to go back into the land. The great leader Moses now has deposited them on the front porch of that promised land and spoken to them God's law and said, do this when you go into the land. Today they cross the river. Today they cross the river Jordan and enter the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, as we have it. As they do, we move in to a new part of our story. If that wild ride took Israel around and about, now they're going to spend a whole lot of centuries right in that promised land. And the first stories we get are of their entry into that land in the book of Joshua. As you listen to Catherine's reading from Joshua chapter 24, as you listen, ask yourself, what is Joshua asking the people to choose? What are the options? What choice does he want them to make? So let's listen together for the word of God as it comes to us from Joshua 24.
Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served before beyond the river and in Egypt and served the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, send your Spirit upon this place, upon this people, upon our very lives, not only in this moment, but in the moments to come, that they might be shaped by these words, not by my words, but by the word that you would have for each and every one of us. Amen. Sometimes in the course of ministry, things will happen to me that stick with me for a long time. They just sort of get stuck in my head, you know, like a song will sometimes get stuck in our mind, right? My kids call it an earworm. Sometimes in the course of ministry, I will have conversations with people that just stick with me. And I can't get rid of them. They literally keep me up at night. They occupy my thoughts during the day. They become a major distraction during budget meetings, which is good. And sometimes there's nothing I can do except give it to you. Last week, in the course of about 90 minutes, I had two conversations that have stuck with me. They have done all those things to me that I just named in staying in my mind, and so I am now faced with the only option, and that is to give them to you. They were back-to-back conversations, and they were opposite versions of the exact same thing. They were opposite versions of a very low-grade, non-specific fear about the future. They were very non-specific, low-grade feelings of concern about a change that people are witnessing in this very church. Both of these conversations happened with engaged, informed, active individual members of the congregation. So these weren't views from a long distance. These were views from the pews and the boardrooms and the Bible studies and the worship of this congregation. And as I said, they were exact opposite conversations. The first conversation went a little something like this. John, I'm very concerned about the direction of the church. It seems to be coming entirely too evangelical and conservative for me. Within the hour, second conversation. John, I'm very concerned about the direction of the church. It seems to me it's becoming entirely too progressive and liberal for me. I'm glad you find that funny because it's kept me up at night ever since. And this is why I'm giving it to you. Now, I want to acknowledge that I take a measure of pastoral risk in sharing these two conversations with you because I hold nothing more important and sacred than the conversations that we have between two people of God. So I don't want to discourage you ever from calling me or visiting with me in the office or going out for coffee or whatever it might be. I recognize that risk, but I'm taking that risk today for two reasons. Number one, because I believe that there is some measure of this low-grade, non-specific fear in all of us. It might not be about the direction of this congregation, but it probably finds form and function in other places of your life. Just a low-grade, non-specific fear about the future. My best guess is that we can all identify with that in some way. And so I'm bringing this to you now. The second reason, even more importantly, is I bring these conversations to you today because I believe the book of Joshua and the passages for today were placed before me at this exact time and for this exact reason. And they can help us very much. They can help us understand what it is that might be driving that low-grade, non-specific fear, but more importantly, they can help us see what our response might be to it. Joshua can be very helpful to us when we see the similarities between ourselves and the people of his day. When we can see the similarities between the setting of that time in a place called Shechem and the context of our very own community. To be sure, we're living in a very divided time, and we're living in a very divided land. And for some, that division lands right here at home, and it comes out in two different conversations. Joshua can help us with this perceived and accelerating changing landscape that produces this low-grade, non-specific fear. Joshua can help us in his very simple question. Joshua asked the people that he gathered together that day, he asked them to choose. He said, make a choice. And in that, there's a moment of crisis. It's a crisis of choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. Among the most famous words of Scripture. But as Alan invited you to listen to carefully, what are the options? What are we choosing between or among? Like these tribes of Israel, we too are asked to choose essentially between two gods. Let me be clear, we're not being asked to choose between two tribes or two communities or two churches or between two conversations. We're being challenged by Joshua to choose between two gods. Using Joshua's language, let me do my best to frame these two gods that he places before the people before him and that still are before us as these two options. Using Joshua's language, the first God he refers to as the God of their ancestors, the one beyond the river, the one back on the other side of the river from where they came. The God of their ancestors is the God of their past, a past which, in spite of exile and wilderness and bondage and slavery, was a God that provided a basic measure of security, comfort, if not even a small measure of abundance. Under this God, they knew an existence of security and comfort, and they chose it over freedom. Freedom that comes with uncertainty and at times scarcity and almost always with pain and fear, even if it's low grade and nonspecific. This God of their ancestors was the one beyond the river. This God that Joshua points to from beyond the river was a distant and unchanging God that was bound by geography as the people of the land understood. So there were many versions of this moralistic or therapeutic deism, this distant, arm's-length God that was primarily interested in God's people doing good and feeling good. That is to say, it was an absentee God, a God of their ancestors, a God beyond the river, a God that bears such names as nostalgia, reminiscent power, lost influence, nonspecific, low-grade fear. This God strikes with equal opportunity any heart that fears the unknown landscape of a new land, a new place, and a new people. So that's the first God. That's the God that Joshua portrays and points to easily by literally pointing across the river, by literally pointing back in time. But then Joshua challenges the community to renounce allegiance to all these gods, bound by the past and limited by geography, to consider and to prefer the one God that has but one name, Yahweh, the Lord. Yahweh, this God that Joshua points to, is a living, loving God of today and tomorrow, not only yesterday. This Yahweh is a God who travels with us to all times and all places. This is a God that is not geographically bound, but a very real and intimate presence that doesn't promise security and comfort or abundance, but promises us presence, a very real and immediate presence. This is an up-close and personal God who is interested in relationship rather than results. As Alan writes in this next chapter of this Homeland book, this greatest story ever told, this is a God that has less to do with real estate and more to do with real devotion. This God covenants to be with the people not only in prosperity and comfort, but in suffering and trials as well. This God beckons us to new lands, to new lives, and promises to show us the way. Seems an easy choice at a distance, doesn't it? Joshua famously calls to the people, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose the God of your ancestors, the one beyond the river, or Yahweh, the Lord. But I still have to ask you the same question. To choose this day whom you will serve. To choose between two gods. Not between two churches or two conversations, but between two gods. Choose which God to whom you will serve, as Joshua says, in reverence, sincerity, and in faithfulness. For Joshua, and I think for us as well, there is but one clear choice. For Joshua and for us, when we come honestly as we are, from either of those two conversations, into an open and honest relationship with God, there is but one choice. There is but one choice for a church where two conversations like that can happen within moments of each other. There is but one choice for a tribe. We're a tribe. Well, is that a community church? Is a tribe. There is but one choice for a tribe that is called to love, to serve, indeed to inspire the world. There is but one choice for any one of us individually asking the question of the last 2 weeks, how do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? There is but one choice for anyone asking that question, for anyone who desires a relationship with a living and loving God who knows us by need, knows us by name, and promises to be with us each and every uncertain day of our lives, now and forevermore. Amen. There is but one choice for a community that seeks to plow a wider path to God. There is but one choice. When we know that it is that very God, that Yahweh, who in time would jam-pack himself into a person that we could see and touch and experience and witness the full expression of life, death, and resurrection. There is but one choice. And yet the question lingers in the air. Whom will you serve? I think one of the reasons that I've been up at night and up early and distracted during meetings and wanting to just bring this to you now is because I truly believe in my heart of heart that God is calling this congregation to a very unique place in a very divided land, in a very divided time. That God is calling this place to show the rest of the world what it looks like to come together in spite of our differences. In fact, maybe because of them. That God is calling this church to ask and answer this question of Joshua, whom will you serve? And to know that that is the God of today and tomorrow, and a God that travels with us every step of the way. And that can hold both of those beautiful conversations tenderly and pastorally and in the context of a loving relationship. God's calling us to do a beautiful thing, my friends. God is asking us collectively, whom will you serve? Choose this day. Whom will you serve? And know that you'll get to make the choice again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day in every interaction that you have and in every action you make to make God's love real in the world. Choose this day. It sounds like Joshua is asking them to be done once and for all, but that's not the case. We see later in Scripture this becomes a rite, a reenactment of the people of God covenanting with the God of the universe to stay together, to be in relationship for the good that that can do in their lives and in the world. Wayzata Community Church with a big C. are the people of God. It's the people of the church. It's not the church. Not one person speaks for this church. We all speak for this church in the way that we live our lives. And in the answer to the question, whom will you serve? So choose this day. This past week, I heard a beautiful closing to a prayer of confession out of the Presbyterian tradition, and it simply says, strengthen us anew, O God, that we might choose the way of Christ. We can come to this place with all of our ups and downs and highs and lows and differences and everything in between, and as long as we can always come together at the end of the day and say that prayer together, strengthen us anew, O God, that we might choose the way of Christ. I believe God can bless that. And God can do more with that than we could ever have imagined. These things have been in my mind. And I really didn't know how else to deal with it except give it to all of you today. And I don't know how it situates in your specific life. I don't know which conversation you need to have, so I want to invite you in the days to come to have two conversations. Have a conversation with that God of your ancestors, and the God that's still beyond the river, bound by geography and by human ideas. And then have a conversation with Yahweh, a living, loving, present God, who knows you and knows me. And then together we can pray, strengthen us anew. We might choose that way. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What do you say? Amen.